I don't know about you, but my Monday was a fucking Monday.
Hell yeah.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm here with my co-host, minus one today.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So it's going to be probably a very short dish, not the usual format for us because we're missing one.
We are. So
we're going to be talking about some stories that are going to be uplifting, others a little upsetting, but you know how we do. It's like we have to have emotions all over the place. Otherwise, we're not functioning.
I picked some intense stories today and I was really looking for another gay animal story, but I just could not find one to really bring up the mood today. But we've got some good stuff going
on. We're still waiting for animals to come out.
I know.
So we need more animals to come out. So if you know
and
of
adopt.
Anyone... because, you know, the last animal story that we got from Mama Kim, right? She had sent us over an email.
Well, I had seen it before her, but she had sent it to us, yeah.
Yeah, and she sends us a lot of information and stories. She's always reading stuff. And one thing that I do have to say is I'm very proud of how involved she is in the community and obviously learning a lot for her son.
I feel bad for her listening to our show sometimes.
Oh, my God. You know,
it's like, this won't be your son. This may be your son, but this doesn't necessarily have to be your future son.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not like, you know. Well, there's nothing wrong with us. We're just a little colorful, and let's just leave it at that.
Hey, look, I look good today. I've got a tie on.
He does. No, but, you know, again, I'm just really proud of now we're speaking to Mama Kim directly. I'm very proud of you for all that you do to make sure that you are informed and that you're aware of what... you know what the life is and what we're all about, and you know we're
all parents should be like you.
Yeah. In the end, I think that we're all about love. Love is love is love.
That reminds me.
Yes, which is why I said it. We still have to get together and figure out how we're going to logistically work that out.
I know.
It's coming. You know, we'll get there eventually. So anyway, I wanted to throw it over your way and ask you quickly, how was your weekend?
Oh my God. So my weekend was pretty good. I mean, it was really relaxing. I worked Friday night. It was kind of slow. Wasn't great. But you know what I did Saturday? And I haven't done it in so long.
What?
When I was a kid, I used to watch Lifetime with my mom. Like,
oh, those
all
Lifetime
day.
Movies.
On Sunday, we would just like sit and watch Lifetime. And this weekend on Saturday, I literally sat and watched movie after movie. We also decorated the tree and all of that stuff, but like of Christmas, like, you know, like the crappy Hallmark cliche Christmas movies. And I was just like, my roommate was like, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know. Like, but it was good. I mean, like, it was a lot of fun. It was relaxing too, to not, you know, I also went shopping that day. I went and picked up a couple pair of pants because of work and whatnot, but it was just nice to not commit to anything and like just stay at home.
Well, one of the best times, obviously, when you're home and relaxing and you really don't have anything to do other than just chill is usually the best.
Yeah.
Those are my best. Are you kidding me? Like, I try to pick a show that I can binge. So I'm back on Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, I know.
So I've been binging like religiously. I'm trying to get through all 7 seasons. But the thing is, there's like 30 episodes per season or something like that.
It's nuts.
It's a lot. And but you know, I believe I'm on season 3 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did you start?
I started last week, 2 weeks ago.
Now she's making shit up. She started yesterday.
No. I started about 3 weeks ago. Two weeks ago. And I started just watching. Just, I'm like, I gotta understand. Because, and the reason being is that I'm the
Legacies,
type,
right?
Yes. I'm the type of person that I watch something and then like a year later, ask me anything about it and I don't remember anything.
Unless it's Game of Thrones.
Correct. Then I'm like all ears and all mind. But so the CW came out with this new show called Legacies, and it's basically all the like supernatural children of all these people that existed during Vampire Diaries and the original series. And so I said to myself, I'm like, all right, I can't place any of these characters, and I don't remember much of the original shows. I need to start watching it all over again before I get into this new one so that I can sort of kind of pick the trail. So that's what I've been doing.
It's so funny, you know, like after like Harry Potter and Twilight, how all of these shows have surfaced and people are obsessed with them. Like, I'm 31 years old and I'm like, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of bad about it. Like, it's a shameful moment when I'm watching it. Like, is this like a kid's show? But like, at the same time, it's like Charmed for me, right? So Charmed, I grew up on it. And now they have the new Charmed, which I'm not quite sold on yet.
I haven't watched it.
But it's like, I lived for that show. I remember like watching it religiously. I'm like, oh no, it's Charmed tonight, Mom. I cannot do dinner.
So about 6 years ago, I was actually Googling how to make an actual Book of Shadows, right? With leather and everything and bind it and all that stuff. Just because I thought it would be something cool to just have somewhere around the house, and people would be like, what the hell are you into? And I'm like, that's just like a replica of the Book of Shadows, because I love that show as well. I actually watch the reruns in the morning. They do it.
When she's supposed to be at work?
No, when I'm on my way to work.
Should we talk about your work today? How was your weekend, Tommy?
So my weekend was good. So here, Lord have mercy, she's nasty. So I have I work myself to death. I work 7 days a week. I, you know, work Monday through Friday, my real job. And then, of course, my other two jobs are real, too, because they're jobs. And I bartend Saturdays, and then I also do karaoke on Sundays. So lately, I've been having issues with my back, and it's an ongoing issue that I've had for a while, and I had my meds adjusted, my muscle relaxers, because the issue that I'm having is that my spasms on my back cripple me, and so my muscle relaxers weren't really doing it, and so I went last week, like a week and a half ago, I went back to my doctor, and we had a conversation, and he upped the milligrams of dosage from 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And so I try not to take them when I have to work, right? But it gets a little sketchy on the weekends, because during the week I work during the day, and then in the weekends I work at night. So I took it right before I went to work, knowing that, okay, it'll take probably a couple of hours.
At the bar. Okay.
Last night, before it hits me. And so I'll be able to actually deal with the whole thing. Now, it doesn't help that I have like this casket with like a 500-pound body in it, and really it's just like all like the DVD player and the mixer and all these things that you have to carry in this DJ box, and the box itself is like 70 pounds. It's really heavy, and so carrying that over to where I keep it at the bar and back to the table where we run karaoke from really has been challenging for me recently. So I bought a new box and I separated all my components so that it's easier to carry in smaller loads. And
I never thought I would hear you say something like smaller loads.
I know. It's like, typically I'm like, yes, all over my face. It's great. It's good to keep my skin healthy. But so what ended up happening was, is that I separated everything and it made it easier. But then I forgot that I had taken that muscle relaxer and I went to bed. When I got home at 1:30 in the morning, I laid down, and this morning I woke up and it was 9:15, and I literally just look over to the clock and I'm like, and I got up and I sort of kind of forgot that I had a muscle spasm, and it really just like threw me for a loop. Anyway, I ended up getting to work at 10 o'clock this morning. I'm due at 7 in the morning.
He texted. So I go to work at 10. I work later than you, but so I go to work at 10. I got off. I think I got home probably around 2 o'clock last night. And you texted me at like 9:30, and I had just gotten out of the shower. No, it was like 9:15, maybe 9:20. And like, I had just gotten out of the shower, and I look at my phone and I'm like, what? This can't be real. And I'm like, all I could think to myself was like, smiley face, crying emoji. Like, what? I cannot believe you slept through work.
I slept through the alarm clock on my alarm clock, my phone, and my iPad that I have on my...
Meanwhile, this bitch goes to work, and I had, like, an emotional personal crisis this morning, like, literally right after he texted me, and so he gets there, and he's talking to his freaking supervisor.
I'm sitting at my supervisor's desk, and I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry. This has never happened before. And I tried to explain to her the reason behind the medication, and because last week I had to actually leave work early to go get my meds because my doctor can't just up my meds without a prescription, and then the pharmacy won't fill my refill for the muscle relaxers unless you go see your doctor and get a new prescription. So I had to leave early. Now I'm sitting here at the desk and I'm talking to her and I'm saying, you know, I'm sorry, but this is what's been going on. And that's the reason why I was late today and blah, blah, blah. And my phone is blowing up.
And it's Trish.
And it's Trish. So the first time she calls,
I knew you were going to ignore it. I knew you were busy.
I literally clicked on, I can't talk right now. It's one of those instant like reply messages. And immediately after I send it and it goes to voicemail, it calls again. And I hit the darn button again. I'm like, I can't talk right now. And then she calls again and I hit it again. And then the next time I'm typing it up, I'm like, look, bitch, I can't talk right now. And then she calls again. I'm like, I think I better answer this. And so I pick up the phone right in front of my supervisor and I'm like, hey, I can't talk right now. He goes, I know you can't talk right now, but you need to listen to me. And I'm like, all right, so what's going on? And so my supervisor obviously realized there was something serious. So she got up out of her desk, out of her office and walked out, shut the door. And then, of course, we went into our conversation. But she was persistent today.
No, I'm only like it's like one of those things. It's like when you get no. So like today, you know, I had a serious thing happen in my life and you were there for me, and I needed you to be there for me, vice versa. And what's funny is, like, it's like that phone call at night.
Yeah.
You get one ring, you don't pick it up. It rings again, you pick it up. And that was my thought process behind calling you today. I was like, I'm going to fucking keep calling this bitch. I don't care where she is or what she's doing until she picks up, because otherwise, I don't know what I'm about to do. So thank you for picking up the phone.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, and we ended up talking through it. And thankfully, the seriousness of the situation was thwarted and everything's on ice. And, and thus far, all is well in the land of Oz. For now.
Yes,
and
I was having an issue with a family member.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
So, yeah, you know.
I needed a sounding board and it was a situation. So Tom
and
was
I,
my
and sounding. Of course now I'm in front of my supervisor.
After so, you she know, was three I've hours
got,
late.
I, exactly. So I got my gay voice and my gay crazy. I'm like, hey girl, what you doing? I was like, hello. Hi. Yes. And you know, very professional and very different. It's like, you know, you have your gay voice, and then there's that white voice, you know, the voice that you use when you want to just.
I think my favorite moment was like, you were like, I can't talk right now. I can't talk right now. I was like, shut the fuck up. You're talking to me right now. This is important.
And I think she heard you because, you know, obviously the microphones on iPhones are pretty loud. And I was just like, oh, wow. So, all right, what's going on? And anyway, but we resolved the issue and all is well.
All is well in the land of Oz.
She put me through it this morning. Let me tell you, if I had seen that wizard, I would have been like, the first one on my list is get rid of her. But yeah, it was good.
It was a Monday. It was definitely a Monday. Yes, it and that's was. Why we started the show out like that.
Yes, it was. So, all right. So listen, we've got some stories that we would like to talk about today.
Chris isn't here, but we do have a signature cocktail, though.
That's right. So I'm going to let Trish talk about the signature cocktail that we're going to recommend for you folks today. What is it?
Well, obviously, since Chris isn't here, it involves bubbles because I love bubbles. So this week, it's Carnival Queen. The ingredients are
surprise.
Crown Royal Regal Apple, but you can use any type of apple if you don't want a brown liquor. You could use a white. And then there's a dark berry liquor. Your choice, of course. Like if you want to do a blackberry brandy or something like that, that would be great. And then you can add a quarter ounce of lemon juice and you top it with sparkling wine or what I would do is Prosecco. And all you do is you shake it, add ice, strain off any of the additional, if you actually use fresh berries or anything like that, you strain all of that off and then you garnish it with a lemon twist.
Oh my God, that sounds so yummy.
So this week's cocktail is Carnival Queen.
Carnival Queen.
Because we are queens and
well,
this week seems like it's going to be a carnival.
Oh, a carnival is I would say that's putting it lightly.
Yeah,
I think it's probably going to be like Six Flags. Not like your typical, like
I'm a ride Superman. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, honey, you're going to ride something.
I need a stress relief. Stress relief, honey.
So, Let's talk about some stories. So in the news, in the gay sphere news, there has been a lot of uproar regarding an executive from Grindr. Grindr, if you're not familiar with it, is an app that typically gay men, mostly gay men, use to conversate and get together and meet people in your area or whatever area you're in, or hook up.
So by that, you mean people use it to sleep with one another?
That, and they use it to also network, and they use it also to sort of kind of meet people. And so...
You are giving Grindr far too much.
I'm talking about, like, the... multiple uses that people may or may not use the app for. I'm trying to just be nice today, right? It's it's the holiday season. Let's be a little bit, you know, in the spirit.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I know, right? Anyway, so about a week and a half ago, one of the executives at Grindr, I believe its president, actually came out against gay marriage. And we were like, whoa. So let me get this straight. You are the president of one of the biggest gay hookup apps in the world, and you're coming out against the very same people that you service, saying that marriage should be a union between a man and a woman, and you don't agree with same-sex marriage?
Wait, but I also have a question here. Like, why the fuck is there a heterosexual man running Grindr?
Well, I mean,
this is like the whole thing that, I mean, not that this man is a white man. I think he is an Asian American. I can't remember.
I'm not sure what his background
president
was.
President of Grindr after it was bought by a Chinese gaming corporation. Anyway, Scott Chen. Scott Chen was the president who came out and said all of this stuff. But here's my thing. It's like white corporate America, right? You have all of these white men making all of these decisions for everybody, but really, they only give a shit about themselves. Meanwhile, Scott Chen, this individual who is a heterosexual male working for a gay corporation, why is there not a gay CEO or a gay president running Grindr?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't think that there has to be. I think that the person that's in that position should be one that supports the community.
But
all
here's
aspects
the thing.
Of the community.
Here's my thing, right? Because, like, when you look at women trying to get to that level, or you look at gay men trying to get to that president CEO level, you struggle. But yet you have a heterosexual man running a gay corporation. Meanwhile,
in Canada, somewhere. No, I'm kidding.
In Canada,
we miss you, Chris.
Justin Trudeau would be like, what the fuck?
No, like,
we need a gay man running a gay app.
You know what I think? I think that we should have Trish run Grindr.
I don't really use Grindr, so.
But but you can run it, right? You don't have to use it to run it. I think that you would be good at it, though. Can you imagine?
I would be good at anything.
President
I put my
Trish.
Mind to.
President Trish, okay, so here's how I would
see The Rock Trish 2020.
So this would be my experience when I walk into the corporate offices of Grindr looking for President Trish. So you walk in, right? And leading to her wonderful, fabulous, like, Manhattan skyscraper view of, like, all of lower Manhattan, because it's going to be fabulous. There would be a rainbow rug leading you all the way to the door. And at the door, it'll be a big rainbow with puffy clouds. And
okay,
there
this
it would
is getting
set,
a little bit to My Little Pony, but...
Yeah, and as if. And there it would say, welcome to the Queendom of President Trish. And
Queendom! Then, yeah, I love it!
Yeah, and then you open the door, and there's a white couch with rainbow pillows, right, that you can sit at. And then, of course, there's a beautiful desk, mahogany, with a chair. And on the back of the chair, there's a huge, like, I don't know, like some ambiotic thing.
This is ridiculous.
That says, President Trish.
Okay, this is ridiculous. I would not be a Trumper. Like, I would not be like, everybody needs to know I'm the president of the company, because you already know.
But that's not necessarily being Trumpish. That's just being ostentatious.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I am
I'm
struggling with that word.
You can't say
ostentatious.
This is lovely.
I don't feel like that's me. Like I'm super gay, but I'm not like that flamboyant.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I also like now working in like kind of dealing with more corporate America. It's like,
But I'm not done yet. So, right? So now you walk in and you sit on this white sofa covered with rainbow pillows, and out comes in tray and say it's 12 o'clock somewhere. Have a vodka. What would you like to talk about? Like, I think that would be, like, totally...
It would be. Okay, everything up to the vodka didn't make sense. Well, made slight sense. And then the vodka, I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just sit down and you have a vodka and then you talk about all the things that are happening and how we can make Grindr better and not go against marriage equality and be a dick and...
He needs to be removed.
Yes, I would totally agree with you. So anyway. Thank you. Yeah. Back to the story. So in light of that news and in light of the president coming out and saying that, marriage should be between a man and a woman, one of the executives at Grindr actually quit.
Proud of you.
So, and I'm very proud of him. So let's talk about what is his name? Okay, so his name, he is a former head of communications, and he says, I refuse to compromise my own values or professional integrity. So.
You know what I would like to say? I'm sorry, I'm going to fucking take it left again.
Go.
I'm sorry, and I know this won't happen because people are too obsessed with... Sorry, I'm like super like...
Your mouth is liquid, juicy, I got it.
Juicy, yeah, like... It'll never happen, but I would love to see just like the gay community delete it for a week, mm-hmm. like protest Grindr for a week, get this guy out of office, like mm-hmm. just a week. You have Scruff, there are plenty of other apps.
Oh, there's Scruff.
Just
there's
delete
so
it
many.
For a week.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I thought about it, but then I realized that there's a couple of like connections on the app that I really do want to lose. So I'm like,
but you have you still have an account. You can delete it and then go back to your account.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we should, as a community, regardless of what you use Grindr for, whether it's for networking or hooking up or whatever, I think that
or in Chris's case, meeting people in random countries.
Yeah, we should send them a message because it's people like this that make it hard for people like us who want to get ahead in life. All we want is to be able to. Have a successful life, be able to work, be able to support ourselves, give ourselves four walls and a roof and where we can live and be happy. We don't want nothing more, nothing less. And when you have someone at the top of a company that is trying to take away your rights or advocating for the removal of a right that we've now gotten constitutionally, right? It is our mm-hmm. constitutionally protected right to have same-sex marriage in this company in this country. And this individual is trying to advocate against that.
And you know what? Like, just I'm going to jump back into this article a little bit, but I'm going to talk about something we probably should have talked about last week, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. So Chen said, who is the president of the company, the reason I said marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman is based on my own personal experience. Well, fuck off, because this is not about your personal experience. It's about a company that serves an entire community. I'm a straight man married to a woman. I love and have two beautiful daughters. I love from the marriage. Now, here you go. Can I not have two beautiful daughters if I get married? Because I can, motherfucker. This is how I feel about my marriage. Different people have different feelings about their marriages. You can't deny feelings about my marriage. I am never saying, nor has anybody attacked your heterosexual marriage, but you, working for a gay company, are attacking our right to be married and have kids. You literally said that we don't deserve marriage and don't mm-hmm. deserve to have daughters or sons if that's what we choose to have. And guess what? We do. We have the legal right to have it.
And we can. Mm-hmm. So the gentleman's name is Landon Rafi Zumwalt. I believe that's his name. That's the former head of communications for Grindr. He resigned, and he said the following: as an out and proud gay man, madly in love with a man I don't deserve. Quite frankly, honey, if you did this, he deserves you. Just to point that out. I refuse to compromise my own values or professional integrity to defend a statement that goes against everything I am and everything I believe. He further wrote in a letter, which was coupled with photos of Grindr staff, while that resulted in my time at Grindr being cut short, I have absolutely no regrets and neither should you. And he's right.
Yeah, no, and he's right. Going to get plenty of work.
And absolutely. And, there's other companies, Scruff, listen up. And, you know, like, seriously, there are other companies out there that are looking for people who have integrity. And that's a lot of, you know, and that's what's missing in a lot of corporate America today, is someone who has the balls to stand up against a corporate leader that really just has the wrong message, that is not the right person for what you or your company stands for, or the people that work for you, right? This is someone who's completely out of touch, completely, from the organization that he is employed by. And I think that what he did is right, and I think he'll be fine. But as a community, as Nick said, we should definitely consider a boycott to send a message, right? It is still a vital, it plays a vital role in our community as far as for men. But we need to send a message, because why can't they do it like other apps? Like, for example, Her. Her is an app for women.
Yeah, right? It's like a mixture between, I don't want to equate it with Grindr, so I'm going to equate it with Tinder and Meetup.
Yes. So it's more of a networking app, but it also allows you to meet individuals and where you can find love, or if you're going to travel or visit somewhere and where you want to be surrounded by the people that you know you're going to be safe. Her is an amazing app for women all over the globe. And so...
Well, it's also interesting, too, because, like, Grindr's values, I'm going to read this. Grindr's goal as a company is to help seek for full equity of all LGBT people's rights around the world, especially when it comes to dating and love. And marriage for many is an end goal to our app. Now, that's interesting to be a value of a company when your president is saying something 100% different.
Which is why he resigned, and I think that he did the right thing.
Right, you know, the executive resigned, not the president.
The president's still there, but this the executive, or the former communications executive?
Director.
Right? He was the director. He was the top communications guy. So he went on to say, and he said the following. He had a message for his fellow coworkers that are still working at Grindr. For those who remain, those who will continue to fight for our community from within, know that I will be cheering for you from the sidelines, he wrote. Persist, may your voices be heard, and never compromise who you are for someone else. I think that's amazing.
It is amazing.
And, you know, congratulations to him. I think that he's going to do wonderful things. And you know what, buddy? Why don't you just open up your own app? Create your own app. And do what you got to do, and give us something different other than Grindr. But anyway, so that's what we have as far as Grindr goes. And again, the gentleman's name is Langdon Rafi Zumwalt.
And Scott Chen, you're going to be moved out of your seat soon, so...
Peace out, motherfucker.
Bye, gotta go.
Bye! No, we're not ending the show yet. So anyway, so that's one story. So Nicholas, why don't you tell us what you have
coming up before
we go to break.
All right, so I don't know if I... All right, I'm going to do it. So this is not a good story.
Well, it's a sad one.
Yeah, it's a sad story. So this came out on the 7th of December, and it looks as though a mother and her boyfriend basically tortured the mother's son to death for 5 straight days when he announced that he was a homosexual. So
it's worth mentioning, too, that this individual, the child, was only 10 years old.
Yeah, he was 10 years old. And I think what's important here is that, like you were talking about earlier, about Mama Kim and how supportive she is and how involved she is. And then everybody always says to me, well, America is a better place now for LGBTQ people.
And then evidently not.
And then you have a 10-year-old that was murdered by not only his mother, but his mother's boyfriend. And when I say murder, they dropped him on his head over 10 times and never brought him to the hospital. Anthony Avalos?
Let me see. Where are we?
A-V-A-L-O-S. Avalos?
Avalos?
Yeah. Anthony Avalos died on June 20th at 10 years old. He was malnourished, covered in bruises, burn marks, and had serious head injuries. His mother, Heather Barron, called 911, in Lancaster, California, to say that he had fallen down the stairs. But the boy's 8-year-old sister tells a different story. She says that the boyfriend had picked Anthony up over 10 times and dropped him on his head 10 times. Meanwhile, when they actually got to examine the body. There were burn marks all over his body, cigarette burn marks. There were bruises all over his body. And this is just days after he, as a 10-year-old, came out to his parents. And mind you, at 10, maybe he wasn't gay. Maybe he was gay. Maybe he, you know, you don't know. But this 10-year-old is now dead because he said that he's feeling a certain way and he wasn't supported by his family. And he, at 10 years old, could not get out of the house because he's 10 years old. And now...
And you know what kills me? And I'm sorry that I'm interjecting.
No, you're fine.
Just imagine a 10-year-old typically... 7, 8, 9, 10, you're probably in third or fourth grade at this point. And, you know, children are impressionable, right? They obviously, LGBT rights and a lot of stories are in the news and making headlines, transgender banned, et cetera, and the rhetoric that comes out of the White House regarding our community. So there would be plenty of opportunities for this child to be exposed to a conversation and where he thinks that, hey, maybe I am that. Not knowing or realizing that he may or may not be, and he could have probably been having a conversation with school, in school with his fellow classmates, or maybe saw something on TV, and not knowing what
that
it meant, he probably just went up to mom and said, I think I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And he lost his life because his parent, his mother, who's supposed to protect him, and of course, this boyfriend, who is also supposed to be an adult figure and someone that provides guidance in a way that is meaningful and protective, he lost his life because these individuals were so ignorant in the fact that even if it was, it's okay.
They would do, I mean, like, I'm reading this article, it's terrible. I mean, she said that they would make him, this 10-year-old boy, kneel down on piles of rice as they would add books to his arms for him to hold. And I don't know if you've ever had something
I've kneeled on rice, baby. Trust me.
It cuts into your skin. So he was bleeding. I mean, like, he was literally being tortured for claiming that he thinks he may or may not be gay. And this family literally just killed their son. This mother killed, whether it was forced by the boyfriend, whether it was from the girlfriend or the mother, she literally killed her son for being gay. And this literally comes 8 years after last year there was an 8-year-old boy that was tortured to death and the parents were found guilty. I mean, it's like everybody's like, oh, it's so much better for gay people. And like, I'm lucky, Tom, you're lucky. Chris is lucky. Chris not so much as we did, but we put up a fight for who we are and with our families.
We had to.
But now you have an amazing relationship with your mother. Mm-hmm. I have an amazing relationship with my family, and we're lucky for that because we are strong individuals that can stand up and speak our voice, but a 10-year-old cannot do that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I have been very fortunate to have a very, very strong relationship with my mother from day one. And to me, I think that is a gift that I will take with me for the rest of my life. But you know what's more disturbing to me more than anything is not only is it bad enough that this 10-year-old child lost his life at the hands of the people who were supposed to protect him, you have an 8-year-old daughter now, the sister of this young boy, who saw this, who can testify to the fact that they dropped him 10 times on his head, possibly more, to his death. And she witnessed this, and she's going to have to take that with her for the rest of her life. And no one has any idea what trauma like that can do for an 8-year-old, let alone a dead 10-year-old boy. To me, it's just... It's tragic all around, right? It's like the ignorance of the parents of not knowing that there is nothing wrong with being part of the LGBT community, that we're humans, that we contribute to society, and that we are a positive force. We're a force of love. And to me, two people impacted. Two people died that day. Not only did that 10-year-old boy die, but that 8-year-old girl, her soul, her her innocence died that day, because she's going to have to take that with her for the rest of her life. And that is what's tragic.
And I mean, like, I'm not going to, I don't want to go deeper into this story, but it's really disgusting what they had done. But I think what's really important to note that Child Protective Services had received at least 16 calls alleging that they were abusing their three children. Mm-hmm. And now one of the three is dead. So where were they? You know, when I was a kid, my dad used to swing us around by our hands, like helicoptering, you know, like it was a fun thing. We all did it. One time that happened, my sister's arms popped out of her socket, and it was scary for everybody in the house. And child protection got called on our family. They came to the house. They did an investigation. But like, where were they? 16 times, 16 calls. We had one call the next day. They were at our house. What is going on?
You know, it's you know what makes me sad is that throughout history and throughout most of my time on this earth, it has always been those tragedies, right, that really point out the inefficiencies of our government, who are there, who are supposed to be setting up all these programs.
They're busy fucking throwing a fucking party for Trump for something or other.
Yeah, or, you know, stripping the EPA or you know,
building a wall through a butterfly field.
Yeah. It just really goes to show you that, you know, the most important thing that you can do as a family member, if you're seeing someone, a parent, that is really not, something just doesn't sit right with you, do something. Because it could be a 10-year-old boy getting murdered for something completely innocent. Maybe he wasn't gay, as Nick said. Maybe he was. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Maybe he was trans. You don't know.
You just don't know. But in the end,
His life matters.
Yeah, and he lost his life. Mm-hmm. And I hope that California, being a very, very progressive state, comes down on this couple with every measurable amount of pressure and every bit of punishment that is allowed by law be thrown. I mean, these two should not even ever see the light of day.
Or those kids ever again.
I hope that that poor 8-year-old girl and possibly another sibling will find a loving home and someone that can take care of them and treat them and protect them the way they should. But nonetheless, it's very sad.
So I don't want to end it on such a negative note. So we should probably go to break. But
we are.
That being said, guess what? We're coming back with some awesome tips from Dr. Evan
That's
Goldstein.
That's right, because we have our next installment of From Top to Bottom, which is going to come up shortly after the break. We'll hear what he has to say. We'll discuss it, disseminate it, break it down, give you the rundown, and then we've got a couple of more stories, and then we'll wrap up the show. So here's some music. We will be right back.
Thank you.
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was We Need to Be Loved by the incredible Anthony Starbell. Those words definitely mean a lot, especially around the holidays. Make sure that you tell your loved ones that you do love them and that you're with them. And hopefully everyone has an amazing holiday season. I can't believe that it's already December 10th. And in about another 20 days, we will be ringing out the old and, well, saying goodbye to the old
15 days
and ringing in the new. 15, that's right.
What? Christmas is in 15.
No, I'm talking about New Year's.
Oh.
Nasty. Wow. But I love you. No, but so yeah, we will be ringing in a new year in about another 20 days. And it's just so surreal because this year flew by so quick.
It did.
It's like, you got to come closer to that, my girl. She's like, there you
I'm
go.
Like leaning back. I'm enjoying myself right now.
She's like, I'm so relaxed.
She's like, I'm in DC sitting on the couch with a mic in my hand.
That was an amazing time. We need to take a group trip down to DC.
Yeah.
And do that. I'll be in DC in January. I'm going down for MAL, which is Mr. Atlantic Leather.
Which means I'm stuck with the animals.
That's right. She'll be babysitting my babies all weekend. It's only a weekend though. It's only like 3 days. So, but I'll come back that Monday and hopefully I'll make it back in time for the show. I don't know.
It's fine. I can run it without you.
That's right. Maybe it'll just... Well, I don't know if she'll be able to do the whole camera thing, but we'll figure it out.
Just another element.
And then by the end of the show, you'll hear this. That was so stressful.
It was my first time.
But it was a great episode. I was in Maine when they were recording that episode where I wasn't here and your girlfriend Meg was here with you guys, right?
No.
And
yeah, Meg. Yeah,
Meg was here and it was amazing. They did such a great show. It was so good. You know, I would love to meet Meg. You should have her come back.
For sure. I'm going to reach out to her.
Yeah, definitely. You should have her come back. Come join us next week if she wants to.
All right.
And sit in studio with us and just chit-chat and just shoot the shit.
Sounds great.
All right. So listen. So we've got one more story that we want to talk about before we bring things home. Lord have mercy.
Hold on. I thought we wanted to go into our segment with Dr. G.
That's right. Sorry.
It's okay. That's what I'm here for.
I've been drinking. All right. So listen.
You're halfway through one cocktail.
That's all it takes today. Really, it does. It's been a crazy Monday. All right, so listen, that's right. We do have our segment from top to bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein that we do have to play for you guys. So we're going to play that segment, and then we're going to break that down and give you the rundown shortly after. So here we go. Where are we?
Find the button. Hey, y'all. You're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Evan Goldstein here for another segment of From Top to Bottom. Today, we're actually going to be talking about something a lot of bottoms think about, poppers. If someone comes to me wanting to introduce substances into their sexual routine, I am completely and fully supportive in any way that I can. However, I do have some caveats and things for you to think about. As a bottom, you know, relaxation is key to successful engagement, obviously in addition to proper anal dilation. Mm-hmm. That said, there are generally two main reasons why bottoms use poppers. One, to enhance sexual play due to kind of the euphoric effects that the poppers actually have. And two is actually to accommodate larger cocks, toys, and even fists if there is resistance or pain related to bottoming. Now, why is that an issue? Regardless of either reason, the reality is I would only recommend sexual stimulation with poppers when someone can prove to themselves or to me that they are able to successfully engage anally without the use of poppers.
I can.
The problem here is that poppers are so good at creating euphoria that they can also remove any pain sensation. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for us to see many patients who develop anal fissures or hemorrhoids as a result of that. So here's what to do. If you want to use poppers to help ease relaxation, please be sure you are in total control. I mean, as much control as you can be, obviously, with the effects of the poppers. But make sure your partners are experienced tops, with everyone aware of all of your limitations. Remember, anal sex should not be painful, and you really shouldn't have to use poppers to get fully relaxed. There are so many other modes of relaxation, like coaching for anal dilation, pelvic floor therapy, anal Botox, and surgical dilation that we can perform if there's still hangups and hiccups in terms of accepting what you want. You know, give us a DM or make an appointment to come on in for a full consultation if there's still some questions that remain. And thanks so much. Happy holidays.
Oh, I love him. So one of the things that I noticed immediately right at the end of that, it's like, you know, give us a DM. I love how he just talks like current, like cultural, like terms and stuff to refer to a lot of the things or the messages that he's sending out to the community. But I think that this is a very important one because this is something that, that is commonly used when people are having or experiencing sex, specifically between men. But one of the things that a lot of people may not be aware is that poppers is pretty much VHS cleaner.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like huffing. It's like inhalants.
So, but it does give you this. I personally have never tried them.
Okay, I have.
So,
not sexually, just so, to try them.
So, can you speak on the feeling you got when you did try them?
Yeah, sure. So, it's an inhalant. It comes in like a little jar. You shake it up and then you... Actually, I have a funny story. Can I tell my funny story?
Go for it.
All right. So Chris, the first time I ever did poppers, I was with Chris Mattoon. and I didn't know how to use them.
Of course he was.
No, but it wasn't like that.
And Chris knows?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish he was
here. It wasn't sexual. No. But we were...
So
it was me, Chris, and actually a previous guest, previous host of the show, Paul, and he was like, just try it. And I was like, all right, fine. So I tried it. And basically what it makes your head feel like, I don't know, just like light. You know what I mean? Like you're killing brain cells. So like it just it makes your head just feel super, super light. But sexually, what it does is it just like your entire body is just completely relaxed, or at least that's how you feel when you're having sex. So you don't feel the actual damage that's being done. But my funny story is the fact that I didn't know what I was doing with the shit, and I poured it down Chris's nose.
Oh my God.
So he was getting high like all night long. That poor kid. I felt so bad. I like literally, I was like, here, just try it. And I like kind of tipped the bottle and it went in his nose. Oh, so bad. I felt so bad. But
I will tell you, if you've never smelled them, to me, I don't mind.
It smells like paint thinner.
Yeah, I don't mind when my partners use it, right? Because obviously there's a good reason why they need to. But
cut her mic.
I'm just saying. But I don't mind if my partners use it, but I don't care really for the smell. And so I've never really had a need to.
You know what it actually smells like? You remember like when you were in school and you had the glue that you would unscrew from the top and had that like
the little puffer ball at the end?
That's what it smells like. And you know, I think Dr. Goldstein hit the nail on the head when he said, if you can't, I think he said something along the lines of like, if you can't actually physically take the cock without poppers,
you're still not going to be able to do it with poppers.
Well, you are, but you're going to cause damage. But that being said, that there are ways to take a larger penis,
of course,
in a healthy way too. I mean,
as long as they don't get lost like Jack, we're good.
Valid. We're walking down the road, so I'm just going to walk it with everybody. So,
okay.
So I've been with plenty of men that have had penises that were. The first initial look is, oh God, no, I don't think I can come back from that.
On the other hand, I'd be like, I'm going in.
But you're more of a top, right?
In my later years, yeah, I've been topping more. But when I was younger, honey can take a pound and she could.
But I think what's important is that like,
Mama Kim, I'm so sorry.
With this conversation, what's important is that with every situation when I was with somebody, I was comfortable enough to say, we're going to take, like, if I wanted to have sex with the person, we took it at a pace that I was comfortable with.
Yeah.
So eventually we got to the place where we were having good intercourse, but it was a slow process. And you have to be able to communicate, whether it's a one night stand or whether it's a partner of yours. You need to be able to communicate with somebody enough to say, no, stop.
Yeah.
You got to slow down. Because really what happens is when you're being penetrated, your body's tightening up. Mm-hmm. Your body's not used to that. So it's going to tighten up. And what needs to happen is you need to relax into it and breathe almost into it. And then once that happens, you will have an amazing time.
But, an experience.
But like, you literally have to allow yourself to kind of breathe into it. And if the penis is or cock is too big, then maybe it's over time. Maybe it's we got the head in. You know what I mean?
Now we got an inch of the shaft in.
Yeah,
in the head.
And you work on it.
And if you're hungry, like me, you just go all the way down, like, and then you're, like, suffering for, like, weeks.
I mean, like, you just want to make sure that you're doing it right. You want to take care of yourself. And at the end of the day, if you do it right, and then you come back and you're doing all of your exercises that we've talked about on the show,
of course,
you're not going to lose the elasticity or the strength of the anal cavity. You will still have a very beautiful anus, but you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you're not getting rammed in and then destroyed. Because we've had conversations on the show about how the muscles in the ass can get destroyed. And that's one of those things you don't want to happen.
And once you lose that elasticity, you know, it's all downhill from there, because it turns into a very shitty situation. And you don't want to go there. But, you know, I also wanted to add that not only is using butt dilators, as Dr. Evan Goldstein many times have said on the show, you know, dilating and being able to actually prepare yourself for it, but lube. You know, the right lube can get you very far. Spit does not count.
Nope.
It is not slippery at
all. Lotion does not count either.
That does not count either. And don't use Vicks. It's...
Or that's gonna burn.
Or Vaseline. These are just things that you do. But
I've used Vaseline.
She was desperate.
I was out of lube.
It's protective, but it's not as how would I say, as soluble or soft or as slippery as it should be for you to be able to have that experience, in where you come out of that experience with a positive experience.
That being said, I'm pretty seasoned, so
yeah, she's like a nice wok that you've had for like 10 years that you do stir fries on. The more oil you pound on that shit, the better seasoned it becomes.
And you don't wash it.
Yeah, exactly. That's her. So
no, but I'm just saying I have used Vaseline before, and honestly, with partners not initial intercourse, but with partners that I've been with before that I know that I can handle and or want to handle. And it...
Who are you kidding? Even the ones she can't handle, she'll go for.
Valid. But as long as you are using a lubricant of some kind, it's better than not. So if you don't have KY, if you don't have Platinum Ultimate, whatever it is that you like... If you don't have it and you have Vaseline, it's better than not using something, because you're protecting yourself when you're using something like a petroleum jelly.
You know, and then, you know, there's also a lot of other elements, and I really don't want to, school or feel like I'm preachy, but there's a lot of other elements too. You know, you got to think about your protection, right? For those who are on prep and choose or make the conscious decision with their partners to go bareback, you know, there's a certain, it minimizes the limitations as far as using the lubricant. But if you're going to be using condoms, right, if you feel the need that you have to protect yourself because of whether the status of your partner or not, whether you're aware or not, and whether you want to take it upon yourself to ensure you're protected.
Can I just pause you? You should always protect yourself.
Yes.
Unless you are in a committed relationship and you've had multiple conversations and have both been tested.
But we know that people... don't, and therefore, whatever route you decide to take, just make sure that you are taking the route that minimizes the chances of you getting hurt in the process.
So when you say this, you're saying this because when you are using poppers, you're not aware of the damage that you're doing. And in anal intercourse, there is ripping, there is tearing, and there is blood. And we all know that blood and sexual fluids are one of the highest risks for, one, STDs, mm-hmm. obviously, but also HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. It's the easiest way to transmit AIDS. And I mean, that's why you see historically in the gay community, a lot of men suffered from HIV and AIDS, whereas lesbian women did not, because their form of intercourse is not as abrasive as ours is. Mm-hmm. So there's less fluid transmission. So using poppers can create, if unprotected, can create a situation where there are a lot more fluids being interchanged.
Correct. And then the other thing is, as I wanted to say, was if you are going to be using condoms, you need to use an appropriate lube that is appropriate for the condom that you're using. There are right. many different condom types, and therefore, you know, using an inappropriate lube, whether water-based or if it's silicone, could, you know, impact the strength of the condom and then also expose yourself and put yourself at risk if you're not using it correctly. So.
Yeah, because certain lubes can break a condom.
Correct.
Easier.
So, yeah. you know, that I love the fact that, you know, he has taken it upon himself to really engage with us and give us this amazing information.
Interesting concept, though. Maybe next, from top to bottom, should be about lube versus condoms. What lube you should use with condoms? Yeah. Because I'm actually confused on that. Like, does water-based lube and latex condoms cause a problem? Or is it latex lube and latex? You know, like, what?
Well, there's all other types of condom. Like, you have lambskin condoms.
Those aren't that great.
There's so many different kinds, you know. So you have to really do your research and due diligence if you want to be able to, one, have a very satisfying experience sexually, but also know that when you are out of that, when you finally finish and you're both sitting there with that cigarette, you know, this feels great, that you are, in the end or in the long run, that you both had a wonderful experience without maximizing the exposure to put your partner at risk if you guys are having consensual sex and you really don't know consensual, yes.
consensual
sex.
So next month,
yeah.
So be careful this month, because next month we'll talk about condoms and lube with Dr. Goldstein from top to bottom.
And I think that would be a very, very informative.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think we should talk about that.
So
yeah.
I will let you handle that. You and
they're going to listen to the episode, yeah. Then email me tomorrow.
That's right.
I'll email
get
them.
Us all the details. Yes. You know, I think that we should, as a means for them to be able to have access to this live stream, send them a link to the live streams of the shows that we do for our Patreon subscribers, because they do work with us closely. Right?
Should we talk about the Tushy? Hello, Tushy.
We're not there yet.
Oh, Hold on.
So, because we work closely with them, but that's good news, though. We work closely with them in the sense that, you know, the information that they provide to the show is very vital for our community and for those that are listening. They get a lot out of it. So, I think it's important for them.
I think we all get a lot out of it.
We do. I've learned so much sitting in in many of the chairs that we've had, right, from my old apartment to the older desk to this new studio, you know, sitting in this chair has really exposed us to a lot of information that it has been our privilege to deliver to you week after week.
Do you remember our first, like, conference call with the Bespoke team and how, like, excited we were?
Yeah.
And now, how long has it been? It's been a while.
Yeah, well, we have 9 segments so far that we've done for From Top to Bottom. This is our 10th today. And I believe we also had 10 different Tales from the Tale.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's been... I mean, I love them. Also, I love Dr. G. He just, like, rags on me.
He is, but he's also very handsome. So I think that we'll figure out a way of getting a picture of him the next time we have him on the show so that you guys can see what he looks like. Actually, it's on our website. Go to gaytalk20.com. There's a nice little GIF there that's just really promoting what they're doing. And if you're a gay man or even a woman.
Or transgender.
And you want to go make sure that your bum is in top working order, go see them. Go to their website, bespokesurgical.com, book a consultation, and get yourself checked out. Man's top notch. What mm-hmm. can I say?
He's going to take one look at my behind and be
and
like...
run.
Honey.
Bye.
Honey, we're just going to send you right into emergent surgery.
Yeah. You'll be done.
But it's plastic surgery for your asshole.
It'll look fabulous afterwards.
Facelift in the back.
All right, so we have one more story that we're going to talk about. Again, thank you, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for that wonderful information. But Nicholas, why don't you kick it off?
So this is actually pretty exciting. So Ryan Murphy, who we all know started Glee, and he is also doing
American Horror Story.
American Horror Story.
And Pose.
And Pose. So he does a lot of really amazing work as... one, an activist, but two, as a director in the LGBTQ community. Not that American Horror Story really is LGBTQ, but...
It's not necessarily, but a lot of the characters in every season are.
So, oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't do scary stuff. Ryan, I love you, but I don't do scary stuff.
Well, just very quickly, in the last... in Apocalypse, which is the last American Horror Story, it's an anthology, so it's like every, if you're not familiar with it, every single season, the same characters or not the same characters, but the same actors come in and play different characters in different realms of the Ryan Murphy world. Evan Peters, which he's hot, plays a gay hairdresser in the very last one. So, and he has played gay characters in other seasons as well. So, go ahead.
So Ryan Murphy has officially pledged millions to get anti-LGBTQ politicians booted out of office.
Yay.
He goes on to say the multi-million dollar organization target anti-LGBT candidates running for office. I want these hateful and wrong politicians to go and stop polluting our moral and ethical ether. Based on this fall, I think it's now possible to create a movement to protect and nourish our own. Which is fucking amazing.
It is.
We have never had somebody come out and literally, I mean, we've had plenty of people stand up for the community, but he is committing millions of dollars.
Pumping millions.
To stop the anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and also change the face of help me.
TV.
No, not even TV.
Well, the face of production, the face of the fight for itself. I mean,
what's the hill? It's the hill. Help me.
The hill of Washington?
Yeah, Washington.
D.C., Capitol Hill?
Capitol Hill! He's changing the face of Capitol Hill!
Well, you know...
Thank you.
But here's the important thing, right? So you have all of these activists, and it's always amazing to see our community come together and fight back. But he's fighting back with a language that Capitol Hill understands. Money.
But, and he also, you know... yes, and that's amazing. But he is finally standing up and not fighting back... funneling money into something sort of like, I hate to equate it, but like the NRA funnels money. Mm-hmm. He is funneling money into a morality clause, a cause, like a moral
try
cause.
That again. Morality?
He's doing what the NRA is doing, but he's doing it for a good reason.
For the right reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Murphy will be going after he listed several Congress people up for election in 2020, including Senator Susan Collins
of Maine,
Nasty. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, Representative Steve King of Iowa, and also Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
Which, by the way, they all voted for Kavanaugh. Just keep that in mind.
Who think they can get votes by hurting and discriminating against us.
Mm-hmm. And another important thing that you need to understand about Murphy is that he's also encouraging and supporting and producing shows which showcase and puts the LGBT community at the forefront of everything that he's doing, whether that's American Horror Story or his latest release, which was Pose, available on FX. Pose is a story about the community. It's really highlighting the transgender community in a way that no one has ever done so before, mm-hmm. right? We've always had shows, like I remember there was one show not too long ago, like 6 or 7 years ago, that had, I think Candace, her name was Candace, she's a transgender actress, on the show. And we're not talking about Orange is the New Black. We're talking about before that. And that's great when they bring on these characters, but they were always playing these specific roles, like the person that the husband was having an affair with, et cetera, et cetera. When you look at Pose, and you see our lifestyle, you see our community, and you see stories. You see stories of
where we came from. You see history.
How it all like unfolds for us at home. as a person, as a human. And he brought the human element of the LGBT community to the forefront on FX. And I thought that was amazing. So the majority of the cast on Pose, the lead actors or actresses, are all transgender actresses. And so I think that's amazing.
I also want to say one more thing about Ryan Murphy, because he's freaking amazing.
That's right.
He, obviously best known for Glee, American Horror Story, and American Crime Story, and Pose, also donated $50,000 to the Trevor Project.
That's right.
And we're here, so we're going to talk about it. The Trevor Project, which we talk about all the time, is an amazing, amazing resource for our entire community, not only just youth, but everybody. They help protect us from youth conversion therapy. They help protect all of our LGBTQ youth from suicide. They are a resource for people who need help and don't have it. And they have they're there 24/7 for you. And if you need help in any capacity, you can call 1-866-488-7386 and you can be on the phone with somebody who will sit on the phone with you for hours if need be, mm-hmm. to help you through whatever you're going through. Because you know what? You're important. We love you. And you are a part of our community. You are a part of a community. And you are an amazing individual. So if you're ever feeling like you need help, or you just need somebody to talk to and you can't call Tom, me, or Chris, call the Trevor Project, because they are there, and usually I'm sleeping. So,
they also have a text service, so you can do the Trevor text, where you can actually you can start a conversation by texting 678-678. Text the word start to the number 678-678, and you'll get someone that could actually text back and forth if you're not, you know, comfortable with having a verbal conversation with them, someone you can actually text back and forth. So that's important.
But also, I think it's important to note that they're not only catering to individuals that need help, they're catering
anyone.
Anyone. They're catering to people who have family members that may need help. They're catering to the entire group or entire, you know, community in ways, you know.
Even people outside of the community.
Yeah.
If you reach out to them, you're going to get someone who's really going to be really concerned with, obviously, what's going on. And you're going to have someone that's going to respond and be able to have that conversation.
I think they sort of get a bad rap, too. Yeah. Like, because, like, you think Trevor Project, you think suicide. But that's really not just what they do. They're there for, like, you know, if Mama Kim didn't have us, she could have called the Trevor Project and been like, my son is gay and I don't know what that means. Can you talk to me?
Yeah.
They are there to help rebuild relationships. If you are in an unhealthy relationship, they will help you find somebody to help you build a better relationship.
Yeah.
They will also talk you through anything you're going through.
Absolutely.
You have a fucking crush. You have a first crush and you don't know who, and you don't have anybody to talk to because you live wherever you live and you have no friends or community. They'll be there. Yeah. They'll talk to you about it because that's what they do. They're there for everybody. If you're in school and you're being bullied, they'll talk to you about it.
Absolutely.
They are all about helping people. It's not just about suicide. It's literally just about support for our community and people within our community. And even if you're not gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, if you're an ally, if you're a heterosexual and you just need support, they're there.
Absolutely. I mean, they're basically, they have a lot of resources online on their website, or you can reach out to them. And basically, they're resources related to sexual orientation, gender identity, and so much more. So if you're really looking for information, not only can you find the support in your local LGBTQ centers in your town, if you have one, or in your cities, but you could also go to thetrevorproject.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I wanted to go back to your story about Ryan Murphy.
I totally.
No, that's okay. And it's important information. And listen, it's the holidays, and sometimes around this time of year, people need it the most.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. You're right.
So, but I wanted to revisit Ryan Murphy because, as we know, Kevin Hart, the comedian, was supposed to host the Oscars this year, right? Was it the Oscars? And there were some tweets that he had sent, so some anti-LGBT or homophobic tweets that he had sent in the past that caught up with him. So people started, you know, as with most things, when you are scheduled to do something, people will dig into your past. This we know. And shit is always bound to come up. So this is why I say to all you youngsters, be careful what you put out, because what you put out, you get back tenfold.
Oh, honey.
And he got it back. So as a result of this whole thing, you know, he ended up losing his bid. He actually resigned from doing the Oscars as being host. And it started a Twitter storm. And there was a lot of conversation going back and forth. Different artists came out in either in support or against Kevin Hart for having even the opportunity of hosting such an award show in where the LGBT community is front and center, right? I mean, when you think about the arts, it's pretty much a lot of LGBT people.
And Jewish.
So Kevin Hart resigning from hosting the Oscars because he refused to apologize for an extremely homophobic language despite incorrect reportings, as Hart never previously apologized. He only addresses the issue has caused an ongoing media firestorm. Celebrities have come forward defending him, and now it has caused even more controversy. So first it was Nick Cannon who claimed that he has to have exposed Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer for homophobic language, not knowing that they were seriously dragged by the queer Twitter community, and they profusely apologized. Schumer is always apologizing, as Kevin Hart once pointed out. Now, comedian D.L. Hughley and Pose actress India Moore, who is a transgender woman, had a heated exchange on social media with Hughley calling her a pussy. So India Moore is one of the transgender actresses on Pose. She had an issue, obviously, with Kevin Hart's homophobic rant on Twitter, and she called him out. And then Hughley, of course, came out and said, you know, no, we're not going to do this. And they're going back and forth. And Twitter just sort of kind of blew up around the conversation. But here's what Moore wrote. She goes, "White people standing up for racism in comedy, at real DL Hughley." So she was sending him the tweet. But you can't see that because gay jokes are so popular and normalized, you can't balance or evaluate the ethics of an issue you aren't impacted by or really care. So, brother, just stop. You're biased. Hughley responded with the following. He goes, quote, "I could give less than a damn what you think. If you don't dig it, don't listen. But I have never apologized for a joke." And this is a line that a lot of comedians use. You know, they say the joke, they don't need to apologize for it. It's a joke. Get over it. Right? That's what they said. So after more back and forth with Moore explaining how she was bullied for being different and the result of so-called jokes, Hughley ended the conversation with the following. He said, quote, "I make a living doing what I love, putting kids through college, paid for my homes, and traveled the world, and still don't give a shit what pussies like you think." And so, if it's just a joke, why are you going to bring such derogatory remarks or such strong language on someone who's just—
Because he knows he's wrong.
He's wrong. And so a lot of people went on and started saying,
why do you think he backed out? He's wrong.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Hart backed out. I'm talking about D.L. Hughley, right? He's the one that's having this conversation or this argument with the star from Pose on Twitter. And I think that, you know, the reason why he lashed out and called her pussy is because obviously he felt that he was wrong. He knew it, and he just didn't know how to get out of that conversation. But, you know, in the end, she's right. You know, it's like a lot of people need to understand that there's some issues in the way people use jokes nowadays, and you sort of kind of think that it's okay to hide some sort of racial undertone or some sort of homophobic undertone under a joke as long as it's a joke. But it's not a joke because it affects a lot of people. And I'm not saying that comedians should, you know, take all of their material and scrap it. Obviously, there are a lot of things out there that can be funny. And, you know, freedom of speech is very big and
important.
But you also have to have some sort of sensitivity to the current situation and the current climate of what's going on, and knowing that your words can impact someone to the point where it could be the difference between life and death.
You know what bothers me? And this is going to go down a wrong path. But so I always talk about how gay, fag, anything that's associated with homosexuality is it tends to have a derogatory term. It's mm-hmm. like when I say, oh, dude, that's, or when somebody would say, oh, dude, that's so straight, that means it's cool, or, oh, dude, that's so gay, that means it's bad or weird or not okay. And so you look at these situations and you're like, okay, so let's think about it logically. How are we going to honestly push forward a rhetoric that's not making what is an entire community less than normal or weird or unaccepted? You're going to do that by not making jokes about people that have been put down for so long. You're going to do that by making jokes about people that have been lifted up for mm-hmm. so long. Make jokes about the white man. Make jokes about the rich white 1%. Do something that has nothing to do with a minority that's been pushed down their entire life. What the fuck do you think would happen if Kevin Hart witnessed a white gay male on stage putting down the black community?
Oh, it would be the end of the show.
Oh, end of story. Yeah. Because you know what? They've been repressed their entire, you know, for years and years and years. But guess what? So have gay people. Mm-hmm. And if, as an African American, you should know that your community has been put down for so long. And I could never imagine what your community went through. And I will never attempt to imagine that. But what I can imagine and what I do know is what I went through as a gay man and what I've seen many men go through as gay men and how many people we've lost as gay individuals. And yes, we can't equate it. It's not the same thing. But at the same time, it's a minority that's been put down. And as minorities, we need to stand together and stand up and that's be right. loud and proud. Because I am sick and tired of all of these fucking minorities putting one another down. Like, why? Mm-hmm. We need to be one group of people. Yeah.
And to answer your question, if we were to take the top 1% and start making jokes out of them, right, and using them as examples for jokes, you'd get someone like Donald Trump coming on camera and saying it's fake news. So, you know, just saying.
Yeah,
but this is not fake news. It's real. And so I just want.
I'm sorry. I did not want to make that about race. That's not where I.
But it is.
I'm just trying to make a point.
But it is because again, let me read what Moore wrote one more time. Here's what she wrote: "Quote: White people standing up for racism in comedy." This is what she was saying to at the real DL Hughley. But you can't see that because gay jokes are so popular and normalized, you can't balance or evaluate the ethics of an issue you aren't impacted by or really care, right? So if it doesn't directly impact you, right, we know that D.L. Hughley is straight. He doesn't know what it is to be gay. So him saying a joke about it is so nonchalant that to him it doesn't impact him. He'll never know the impact of his words because they don't personally impact him. But it is our responsibility as a community that when that does happen, to tell him and to say. And that's exactly what she was doing. She was going at him on Twitter and saying, what you're doing is wrong. How you're responding is wrong. How you're treating us is wrong. How you're writing about us is wrong. And your jokes on our community are not right.
But you know
Stop
what,
it.
But you know what bothers me more is the fact that Kevin Hart has a platform.
Mm-hmm, he does.
You know what I mean? And there is an entire community, which I'm sure he has friends in and that he does actually support. And he was just making a joke. But at the end of the day, you look at the LGBTQ group or people of color, and I'm a white man, so I can't really speak to this very well. But you look at that group and they're the group within our community that really gets it worse. I mean, mm-hmm. they have been put down even worse than like me as a white gay man, you know, I mean, like, yes, I had my own shit, but like Hispanics, African Americans, gay Indian men and women, they have been
Asians are really getting,
they've been put through the ringer, yeah. and they are so afraid to come into their own because of what their culture has stated about them and what they have grown up knowing. And I can't, like, as a black heterosexual male with a platform, what you should be doing for somebody in the arts is standing up for a community that doesn't have a voice. You are in the arts and you have the potential to save lives, mm-hmm. and what you're doing is putting them down, whether it's a joke or not a joke. As a little gay kid who may idolize you because you're funny and awesome and cute and funny, he just got fucking shot in the heart because you just made a joke about the fact that gay men are this and gay women are this. When in reality, that little African-American kid could have been uplifted by something positive that you said.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just, it's a sad situation. I think that, you know, he made the right call to resign and not do the show. And I think that the Oscars should find someone that's more suitable to represent them in a way that is more inclusive for everyone that's involved.
But I do give him some props. I give him props for actually saying, all right, I'm going to step back from this because I think that I need to do this right now.
And there's actually another actor from Pose as well. I think it's RJ Rodriguez or something like that, actually came out in his defense and said, you know, he apologized for it. It may not be the apology that we wanted, but he also stepped down and he's doing the right thing. And so that needs to be also commended as well. He didn't think that he actually needed to resign from hosting the Oscars. He still thinks that he should do that because in the end, we're also need to be worry about the fact that, you know, he's exercising his freedom of speech and doing his work. That's the work that he does. He's a comedian. And there's a fine line, right? It's like some people may not agree with everything that you say.
That's fine. And that's part of what freedom of speech means.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but you're always going to have shows like the Us that, you know, find some language that may not be appropriate and we're going to point it out and, you know, call you out on it and say, hey, we're feeling some kind of way. And I'm thinking that that's your opportunity to actually engage the LGBT community.
Look, I'm sure his show was great. I'm sure he got plenty of laughs with his joke.
Oh, of course.
But at the end of the day, you have to think about your end game, the long term. You know, you can make a joke that doesn't affect the people.
Absolutely.
And you can make a joke that doesn't hurt individuals.
Absolutely.
And I think Kevin Hart actually has an opportunity here, right?
He has an opportunity to do something good.
Yeah, and if he actually were to actually host, you know, comes back and he hosts, he has an opportunity to, maybe make a few cracks at something stupid, but then also really make a vocal statement saying, hey, you know what? Shit happens. People say things.
Or you can do what...
And people laugh at those things. But guess what? You matter.
Yep. Or you can do what Eminem did. You know, Eminem came out with one of a song that was considered at the time when I believe it was his second album, very homophobic. And he lashed back and said, you know, I'm not homophobic and blah, whatnot. Maybe it was a publicity stunt, but he literally got the gayest man on earth, put him on a stage with a piano, and they actually performed together. He had now I can't even remember his name. Elton John, yeah. They actually performed together on the Grammys to Hey Stan or something like that. That was his way of saying, listen, you know.
That was his publicist's way of saying.
Yeah, it's all semantics. But in the end, if you have an opportunity to make it right, take it, do it, apologize, be the bigger person, and hopefully at the end of it, on the other side of it, you come out being better, wiser, more... tolerant person.
Yeah.
And that's all we can say. On that note, let's bring this home, baby boy, because we got to go. So I'm going to let you, or should I do the Gay Talk Term? Which one?
I'll just do them both.
All right, do them both.
All right. So this week's Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com is hung on somebody, because we all know how hung I get on some people. And this means...
It goes in stages.
Mm-hmm, hung on somebody, in love with a person. Poor baby, you're really hung on that bastard, aren't you? Hung on somebody. That's your Gay Talk Term this week.
Hung on somebody. I'd be hung if they were hung. All right, so what's on this day in gay history?
On this day in gay history, of course,
brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com is the first U.S. LGBTQ rights organization was founded on December 10th, 1924. Where, you ask? The USA.
What state?
It actually doesn't say.
Oh, nasty.
Sorry. the Society for Human Rights is founded by Henry Gerber and chapter by the state of Illinois.
Illinois?
I know. The Society publishes the first known American LGBTQ publication, Friendship and Freedom. The Society includes only gay men and intentionally excludes bisexuals. Oh my God, this is going to get bad. So we're just going to end this. with the first LGBTQ rights organization was founded on December 10th, 1924. Yes, they had a long way to go, but we founded an organization in 1924.
All right. Well, on that note, ladies and gents, thank you so much for joining us today. If you love the show, make sure you rate and review your show on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it ensures it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, as most of you know. It gives you access to our live video stream, so you can see what we're doing here in studio for you guys, specifically and exclusively for you guys. Those donations that you make can be anywhere in any denomination between a dollar or more.
She's got it.
And we collect them every month, so it's basically tallied up on a monthly basis, and we do appreciate it because it helps us bring you the show week after week. Chris?
Well, he's not here, so next week we welcome back, of course, the one, the only, Dr. Evan Goldstein from Four Tales from a Tale.
That's right.
And again, thank you to Dr. Goldstein and his crew. Well, thank you for from top to bottom today. That was wonderful.
Amazing.
And for his crew.
We forgot to talk about this.
We're going to get there right now. We'll do it right now before we close. We'll do the plugs. So this holiday season, Dr. Goldstein and his amazing crew at Bespoke Surgical has given us the opportunity / connected with another organization called HelloTushy.com.
Yes.
And they are sending us all our own bidets.
That's right.
So we're going to be tushies. Spraying our buttholes.
Oh, I can't wait.
So they are attachable bidets that you can put right into your toilet. And
your existing toilets, by the way. So you don't have to get like a new toilet.
Mm-hmm. So as soon as we get them in, we're all going to try them in. Mind you, we're all getting our own.
That's right. Yeah.
That was an awkward conversation.
It's not going to be like we all have to run to Tommy's house to tushy our butts.
No. So and hopefully we'll have a chance to actually review the product. Maybe we'll offer you a discount code if we can connect with HelloTushy.com and have somebody on the show and chat about it. But we are super excited about cleaning our tush.
That's right. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm excited. They've already been shipped. And as soon as I get mine, let me tell you, I'm going to Home Depot and do what I need to do to just make sure that everything's ready, set, go.
It was really funny because Chris doesn't really, sometimes he pays attention to our group chat, sometimes he doesn't. And so I was texting because we had been emailing back and forth, and I was like, oh my God, we're all getting bidets.
I'm touching the screen on my MacBook Pro.
Like it's an iPad.
It's an iPad thinking it's going to go up.
And so I finally call him and I'm like, hey, Chris, did you see the emails? And he's like, what emails? I was like, oh, about the bidet. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I saw something about that. I'm like, no, we are all getting a tushy. We're all getting bidets that hook up to our toilet. He's like, oh, my God, are you serious? I'm getting a fucking tushy? I was like, yes, Chris, you can clean your hole out.
I will tell you this, though. So I've had portable bidets before. I used to have one in my old apartment. Then when I moved, it sort of kind of got lost, and I don't know where that thing is. But I'm super happy I'm getting a tushy. But I will say this, though. If you have a hot water connection, make sure that you take advantage of it, because there's nothing worse than sitting on a toilet with a tushy connected or any portable bidet to super cold water in the middle of winter while you're trying to clean your butt. Because as soon as that spray water comes out and it's cold, your butthole does whoop.
Talk about what we were talking about earlier.
Yes. It shrinks.
So, poppers and tushy.
That's right. And it's always very good. So, Nicholas?
All right. So, can we put a rubber on this show?
Let's put a rubber on it,
baby.
All
right, let's do it.
Use the right lube.
I was going to go there, but you did it. So our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Nick announces,
Can
find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter, at Gaytalk 20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. And if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, which, by the way, new look on our website. Make sure you go check it out. It's awesome. Where you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can leave a question for the cast or an individual host.
Mainly Chris.
That's right. You can also call us at our phone, our Gay Talk phone. We call it the Bat Phone, 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. You can also
leave a question via voicemail.
That's right. If you want to, and we'll answer that question for you right on the show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Trish. And don't forget that we stream our show live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. and you can access the live stream on digitalstreamradio.com at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. Ladies and gents, that is our show. We want to thank you for joining us, and y'all have a good night. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.